Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now back to your host, Rod Peterson.
All right, Rod Peterson Show continues. We should get a bell up here to ring. We have another new sponsor, two of them, Bronco Plumbing and Heating and Camco Plumbing and Heating. So thank you, Cam Sebastian, and appreciate the support. And we'll see you in on the sponsor's couch here as soon as you can make it. And whatever else you want to do, right, Kelly? Because that's what we do here.
You're open for business.
We are open for business. We're like Brewster's Millions. We're in the business of being in business, and business is good.
Did you notice when when we got back to 2004?
His eyes twinkled?
Huntsy just kind of like, he started getting those twitches. When I say Cam Ward, what do you think about? Outshot him 43. Hang on.
Stanley Cup winner.
Oh, yeah, Carolina, yeah. Not Red Deer.
Yeah, no, trust me. What do you think about Red Deer?
I just want, we're going to switch gears, as I said, yeah. Broadcasting this morning from the bunker in North Regina, live, 10 a.m. to noon on Facebook Live. Gentlemen, it is Rider game day tonight, and the poll, last I looked, our daily poll, 51% saying they're more jacked for the Rider Ticats game, 49% saying they're jacked for the Raptors Golden State Warriors game. Curtis, I'm sure you'll be watching the Rider game from the lake, I would assume. What do you got going on tonight? Are you going to be watching at all?
I will be. Well, my son's got the evening off, he told me, and he's more of a basketball guy, but I'll flip back and forth.
Duster or Finn?
Finn.
Yeah?
With
yeah.
Bill? Are you going to be with Bill watching the game?
No.
Father Time?
Bill. No, had a hole in one yesterday. I was like,
come on, what? At Regina?
At the Regina.
Wow.
14th hole.
Are you kidding?
Is that his first?
No, it's a second out there.
That's unbelievable.
Well, good for you, Bill.
The old dog.
Yeah, no kidding. That's where Curtis gets it from. But you know what's funny when you say who's jacked more for what? Because we're going to be watching both, obviously.
You'll be jacked for both games.
Right. But what's your take on the Riders, Curtis, following as much as you've been able to?
Well, to be honest, I was hoping the first game in Calgary be on. It wasn't on TV. I was at the lake for that one. Then the last one wasn't on. I believe it was Montreal and someone else they had on, which is Toronto Sports Network. And so for me, I have no idea. All I know is Jeremy's a classy guy. I think yep. He's a tremendous leader. I think he's going to do a tremendous job for the organization. That's all I know right now.
That's the one thing about this fan base. I could tell them until I'm blue in the face. And I think Jeremy's been around here since 99. They know what he's all about. Married a local girl, kids born here. You couldn't ask for anything more. And Craig Dickinson's an honorary local guy. But if they don't win, nobody will care. Right? That's the way it is here.
But earlier you said the greatest fans.
Different. So isn't that great, though?
The greatest fair
isn't
weather
that great?
Fans. Well, there should be pressure to win. I agree.
Right.
And like Benny said, as soon as you have enough excuses, then it's time to hang up the axe, so to speak.
You know what, though? I would argue that wherever you have a market where the people are the most neurotically fixated on the team and the most passionate, for better or worse, is where coaches are going to get the most love when you win, and they're going to take the most heat when you lose. So the alternative would be you could be a head coach or you could be a GM in a market where people really don't give a shit. And then that's much easier on you, I would think, as a person or as a human being. Or you could be the coach of the Montreal Canadiens or the Toronto Maple Leafs or the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, where everybody has an opinion because everybody cares. So, I don't know. Well, you're a coach. You're a GM. What's easier? What do you like better?
In the end, for Jeremy, for myself, like the buck stops there. So, yeah. You know, to be the second one, shit runs downhill. So in the end, it's his responsibility to put a quality product on the ice or
on the field. Yeah, we got you.
We know
what
you mean.
So there's two things. One, I don't understand is what does he inherit in terms of contract and his team? Because when you're number two, you get input, but you don't make that call. So from his perspective, just to segue, and I'll come back to what your question was. And then two is, in terms of how many guys and how much turnover do they have in their scouting? Because that's important.
They wiped out their scouts.
Terry Simpson said to me, he says, do you trust your scouts? And I said, yeah, we have good scouts. He says, then nothing else matters. You got to have good scouts because those guys, are the, they make such a difference for
you. Who are your... Who are your guys?
Kurt Brownlee, actually. He's our head guy now. So, and in town, we got Mike DeMelli.
Did Gunner assemble the crew, though?
Dale Durkach, actually. Probably Dale.
The rat did.
Had the most influence on the group we have now. And then Ronnie Gunville, who some don't know, passed of cancer just in December. He was our number one and, you know, big part of this team that was a championship team as well. So, back to your question. The greatest thing about Prince Albert and probably the greatest thing about being here in Saskatchewan as a rider is you're a rock star when you have success. So have success.
Yeah.
But it's motivating.
Yeah.
If our kids aren't motivated, and we were lucky enough to bring young guys in to see what kind of the room and the atmosphere, because we had tremendous leadership in our group. Whenever you win, you do. Because your guys understand when the team does well, we will all do well. At some point in time, and at amateur sports, there's nothing more important because more scouts, more people, more opportunity for guys to advance. So a small community, everybody's on board everywhere you go. You know, you get a coffee, you get a lunch, you get a sandwich, whatever it is, and it's fantastic.
We got some questions here. On the dub drought, WHL teams haven't won for 4 years at the Memorial Cup. From my friend Rob, does the WHL need to adjust its season to give teams more time in between the WHL Championship and the Memorial Cup? What do you obviously, you've been asked probably this a few times. You've probably thought about it.
Well, I'd take 3 more days. It'd be great, you know, but there's confines in the season, and you've got to get through a series, and, you know, I guess that comes back on us. We had a 3-1 lead. You know, but if you could have more time, time can also be your enemy. You get a little stale too. So
this might be a convenient excuse. I don't know, but let's be honest. There's a lot of teams in the WHL for a relatively small population, right? I mean, when you have 22 teams and the pool of players is divided up amongst a population that's, you know, probably relative to some of the other leagues. It's tough. It's the same reason that a school, a high school, it may not be the best analogy, but it's the best one I can come up with. A 5A school, for the most part, is going to beat a 3A school because the players, the number of sheer players that they have to draw from to get the best six or, say, five players on the basketball court, if there's 2,000 kids at the school, it's probably going to be better than a school that has 500 kids. There's a lot of teams in the Western Hockey League for a relatively small, you know, population. And I think that not, that combined with the travel and all of those things, I mean, I don't know how it didn't catch up to us before. We've become almost a little bit like the Quebec when I was growing up in the 80s, where it's like we're just not having a lot of success.
Are you saying we can't compete?
No, I'm not saying we can't.
Yeah, like I think this is a phase. This is a fad.
That's my
not
feeling.
A trend in my... That's what I think.
I agree with you,
a blip.
Roddy. It's just one of those... It's just the anomaly, the way it worked. Last year, Swift Current was so beat up
yeah.
at the time they got there. Throw on top of it the emotion of Humboldt, which affected their players just like it did every hockey player in Western Canada. And you get to there and boom. I think for us, actually, this is funny. We talk about strategies. We've actually thought of this in hindsight. You go into game one knowing the hometown's playing. It's going to be full pomp and big roar show sold out. Do you go into game one and you play your entire bench and 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4, and you focus on game two? The problem is you get caught up and get the first one. It gets you in the tiebreaker at least. And then,
which is what they're thinking,
yeah.
too, right?
But
yeah.
you know, then we got into game two, and we played desperate. We're unable to score. I thought, like I said, we deserved to win. But now you shorten the bench. You're running with your older players. In game three, we just had.
So you guys just think it's a pure coincidence?
I do.
That for 4 years in a row, we haven't won one game.
I absolutely do.
I do too.
Okay.
I think our players are as good or better than the other two leagues, and I just think that it's
the depth is as good, really? You think the average third or fourth
doesn't matter line? What the depth is. I think Western Hockey League players, Saskatchewan's got more players per capita than any of the other provinces go to the NHL. I don't think our talent is less, which is what you're saying.
I'm saying that I think if you looked across the average, you know,
the population's always been a thing.
I think he's saying it's a depth issue. It's So you're saying their fourth line is better than fourth line.
On average, yes. Year in and year out, I would agree.
I thought Noah Gregor was the best player in Halifax. And I know he's our guy.
He's not a depth guy.
But in terms of talent, this kid was phenomenal. Yeah.
By the way,
to get him back. That was huge.
We've got a lot of questions coming in for Curtis Hunt. The one thing that I haven't heard about PA, I didn't see you guys as much as I would have liked this year, but you heard with Swift Current and you heard with the Pats that they were going to suck next year. And they did. I don't hear that about PA. What's the outlook for you guys next year?
Well, we lose three pretty good centermen right off the bat and overage players. There's a lot. Our question marks are, I saw a question about Ian Scott. Signed player, he'll be gone. American League, more than likely. Parker Kelly was a 19-year-old forward, signed player with Ottawa. He'll be gone. Brett Leeson has been a lot of talk about Brett, obviously well-known here because of his dad. It depends on the team. But if he's going to get picked high, we don't expect to see him. He'll be gone. So right away, there's five forward positions. However, we haven't given up picks, so we've got skill, but we're young. I think that's the thing. I think it would be strong on the back end. We had five 19-year-old defensemen last year. Who knows? Who knows? What we think one or two of them are going to get drafted, have a chance to go to camp, maybe three. You can only bring two back, so young. But I think we'll be skilled enough. It's Ken, that experience when you're young, because it's a 19, 20-year-old league. That's how you win.
True.
But I think I do believe we're a playoff team.
You know, I remember when I spoke to you on the phone at the end of last year after that hard-fought series against Moose Jaw, and I said to you, I don't know if you remember this or not, I said, you guys are going to be so good next, and you're downplaying it. Well, you know, let's hope that the pieces fall. I said, you guys just took the team that had the best record in all of Canada through the regular season to seven games. With the amount of youth that you have, you guys are going to be great next year. As a junior hockey fan, I've found it so much fun over the last few years. So 2 years ago, the Pats win the Eastern Conference. The year after that, the Warriors win the President's Cup. The Broncos go on to win the whole ball of wax. This year, the Prince Albert Raiders. I was tired of watching Brandon and Calgary and Edmonton.
Who wasn't?
Yeah, like it's like, when are...
So were you.
Yeah, absolutely.
When are these Saskatchewan teams like gonna... And now...
I didn't enjoy coming down here to Regina either with Brooks and Steele and the gang.
No one did.
No.
Fair
that
enough.
Wasn't a lot of fun for
I
us
sure enjoyed
either.
It.
Yeah.
I really did.
But isn't it just so much fun if you're a junior hockey fan? Even if the Pats...
Here.
Yeah, but even if the Raiders aren't your favorite team... Wouldn't you rather see the Prince Albert Raiders win the championship than the Edmonton Oil Kings or the Brandon Wheat Kings? I know I would.
Yeah, and nice to see the Blades coming, too.
Yeah,
it
and
really is for
they're
the city of Saskatoon.
Absolutely.
I should let you go, Curtis. Is Raptors mania gripping PA at all? When's the last time you're up there? Are they excited up there as they are down here? Because, boy, Regina's making national, international news for what
ESPN.
We're doing. At Mosaic Stadium.
I'm sure. It's Canada. I think that's the neat thing. If you think about the Jays in the 90s, everybody was a Jays fan, and now everybody's a Raptors fan. It's exciting.
It is. Where were you in the early 90s besides playing? Were you around here when the Jays won it all?
American League.
You'd have been playing.
I was an angry Expo fan.
You weren't even happy. That is so Curtis. Everybody else is having fun, and he's... They didn't have the camera on me. I can't do my Curtis Hunt imitation again.
Yep.
I protest.
All right, Curtis.
I protest.
That's a Greg Marism. You know that, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Hunsie, thanks for coming in. Congratulations again. You can't shake my... There you are. Put it there. Appreciate it. Have a great summer. We'll see you at the lake.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right.
Good to see you, Curtis.
Rod Peterson Show continues after this break on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work, follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait, do it right now.
Your economic security does not lie in your job. It lies in your power to produce. to think, to learn, to create, to adapt. That is true financial independence. It's not merely having wealth. It's having the power to produce wealth. We are your power to produce wealth. We are your freedom to make your dreams your reality. We are your shield against uncertainty. We are your family's protector when you no longer can be. We are your assurance that the light you see at the end of the tunnel isn't a train. We are comfort, clarity, and peace of mind. We are your financial guardian angel. We are 2020 Wealth Management. We are all these things and more. And we welcome you. Come see us and prosper.
You see them everywhere. Those awesomely massive decals around the city? Yep, that's Sleek. Those sweet-looking graphics on businesses, buses, and billboards? Sleek, sleek, sleek. Basically, if you want to go big, you go with Sleek Signs. SleekSigns.com.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Show continues. We're changing the world. I see Marshall Hamilton's on Instagram now. He's following us on Instagram and liking our photos. Oh, and by the way, now would be a good time to tell folks to sign up for our YouTube channel, subscribe to it, right? And please tell your friends to like, share the Rod Peterson Show page if you like the show, only if you like the show. Which reminds me, Jordy from the Keg is watching, and he says, taking the Raiders out of the Hauser would be like taking the Bombers out of the Whitney. Yeah, but you can't stand in the way of progress. We can't play in these old dumps forever. The roofs will cave in. What if we said that about Taylor Field? You know, and we've got the Palace of Football here now.
Just to be clear, I'm not saying that they shouldn't have built Mosaic Stadium. Certainly not saying they shouldn't have built Mosaic Place. I mean, you know how hard we work to get it built. All I'm saying is that you do lose some of the atmosphere. There's no question about that. That's all I'm saying.
And that's the truth.
Yeah.
But
you can't...
We can't stay in those places.
No, and you can't...
Don't stay in a marriage if it's bad, right?
Well...
As they say.
Yeah. Good point. Not maybe the best analogy, but it works.
It works in this case. Hey, our friend Donald Mitchell from the Navy. And by the way, Don, I was at the Naval Base yesterday. Thanks for the care package from your guys and gals there. He says he's at Union Station in Toronto. Not much Raptors action here. All the crazies are waiting in the rain at Jurassic Park. Well, you know Toronto's going crazy somewhere in advance of Game 6 tonight. That Rider game is in the area. It's in Hamilton. And the last I looked, now 70% chance of rain for kickoff at 5 p.m. SAS time. Riders at Ticats. By the way, on the sports update here, another chance for the Raptors to win their first NBA title tonight. Raptors in Oakland facing Golden State in Game 6 of the NBA Finals. Raptors lead the series 3-2. Game 7, if needed, will go Sunday in Toronto. 7 o'clock our time, tip-off from the Oracle in the last ever game there. Blue Jays looking for a series win tonight with a win in Baltimore. Marcus Stroman gets the start as Toronto concludes a three-game series against the Orioles. Jays hung on for an 8-6 win last night. And St. Louis is planning a parade after the Blues captured their first Stanley Cup last night. The parade will take place Saturday to honor the NHL champions. The Blues taking it with a Game 7 victory in Boston last night by score of 4-1. Justin Hagley writing us on the Facebook feed. Love the show. Hope we can push it for 8 hours a day and talk just sports. Now I'm in heaven. It's funny. Let me know when we got Jovan Johnson on the line. Sounds like we're going to have him shortly. But Don Hewitt sat in that chair yesterday and said, the people that I talked to said they wish it was a primetime show.
It is.
It can be. It is. Do you want to explain that, please, Darren DuPont?
There's nothing to explain. It is a primetime show because when it's over, you can press play on this whenever you want to. The podcast available everywhere, of course, and the show right here on Facebook. I mean, it lives in the archive, so it's there. Watch it later. Watch it in primetime if you want to. I know what they're talking about. The interaction only happens live here, but we jump on. We'll interact with you if you want to comment later and watch the show later, but... that's the fun part about being part of this community live is that you get to be part of the coffee row here at right. 10 to noon every morning.
Yeah, people are certainly loving the format. They're loving the time. I know I obviously am. But, you know, our poll now, it's flipped. Last I saw, 52% of respondents, the daily poll from our Twitter feed, at Rod Peterson Show, saying that they're more excited for the Raptors game tonight, Game 6, and the chance to close it out, to finish the job in Golden State versus the Riders, because it is week one. But I will say this, and people say I'm crazy. The spring is the best time. And we're not even in spring anymore. I think we're in summer. But I love the Stanley Cup playoffs. I've always been an NBA playoff fan. The start of baseball. The snow's gone. Most people, Kelly, say that fall. And maybe you're one of those guys.
I would be one.
You're still?
Yeah.
Look at what's going on right now.
But this is, okay, not
but
this.
You're saying this is an anomaly this year.
Like, okay. Yeah, right.
A one-off.
Right. And I would also say to you that I don't think in my life of following sports and knowing, you know, following it, but talking sports with people on a regular basis, which every one of the three of us have pretty much done our whole life because that's what we're into. So we surround ourselves with people that also talk about sports.
Yeah.
I have never, ever had the more casual fan talk about anything like they're talking about this Raptors run right now. I'm talking to people that have admitted to me that they haven't watched basketball ever. They haven't watched more than 5 minutes of basketball in, you know, at a time in their life. And they're going to Mosaic Stadium. They're watching the games on TV. They're like riveted by the sport. I don't think even I, until my son started playing it a couple of years ago, realized just what a great game it is. So many points. Right? Like there's something to be said about a mm-hmm. game where there's, you know, there's 106 to 104, or, you know, it's a great game. It really, truly is. But basketball has really flown under the radar in this country for a long, long time. And it needed something like this to get to the next level, even though Canadians do pretty well at it. You know, there's some guys in the NBA and there's some good players, but I don't think that it's really got the nation's attention. Clearly hasn't. But now when people,
well, now it is, yeah.
Well, but people that have never had an interest at all, like I'm not talking people that have never given it a second thought, are like glued to the TV watching every move. That's pretty cool.
And they're trying to learn the game. It's not just standing there watching. And right. Like, well, the people, we had some friends over to our house the other night because you guys know that we're a basketball family. They're new to it. We're discussing the rules and they're like, oh, we got to find out what the rules are because this is a great game. Like yeah. You just said. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, there was a period with the Rider fandom that everybody wanted to play football when they were young kids. Yep. And now lacrosse, look what the Rush has done, particularly in Saskatoon. Point. But there's more kids playing lacrosse in this province now than there's ever been. And as I've talked with the Urban family about, who's probably watching right now, Bruce and Brandon and Cindy, the mom, they said, wait till there's Saskatchewan kids on this team. You think that there's euphoria now over the Rush. Wait till we have local kids on the team, which they can't wait to have, right? There's one now, right? Darren, he's on the practice roster. Yep. It's coming. And now I bet your RCBA registration is just going
to
spike.
100% next year, right? It will. And, you know, here's the other thing. You never hear in basketball people trying to talk kids out of playing because of concussions and things like that. I mean, RMF, I'm not trying to paint a real black cloud. It's not my place to do that. I'm just a guy that's coached over the years and whatnot in RMF. Their registration way down again this year. You know, there's other reasons other than that, but
it's got a PR crisis, and
well, it does.
And our next guest can talk about that. Yeah. You guys might want to throw your headphones on here, but longtime CFL veteran, defensive back, primarily corner, Jovan Johnson joins us today. What is it, Jovan? 10 years, 11 years? What did you finish with? 11?
Yeah, I played 11.
11 outstanding seasons and a Grey Cup champion, but you, like Kevin Glenn, settling into retirement. Are you waiting for a call? Where are you at, Jovan Johnson, these days?
Well, right now, I'm still kind of up in the air. I know one thing for sure, that I'm not going to sell myself short and go back and play for somebody to try to bring them a championship, on a rookie salary. So right now, I'm weighing my options of whether or not I want to retire as a bomber or as a rough rider. So that's kind of where I'm at right now with the process.
But you're going to do it on this show if it happens, right? That's where all the players do it now, right? You were watching yesterday.
Yeah, I tuned in to my boy Kevin. That was an amazing thing. He had an outstanding career. A guy that, I respect, one of the best teammates to ever play with, and one of the best competitors to play against. The guy is just an outstanding player, and he was an outstanding person as well. So congrats to him. And, the great players will do it on the Rod Peterson Show, that's for sure.
Well, Jovan, when we talk about your career, you weren't just a great player. You are a great player, and I don't feel that you are ready to shut it down. I know you well enough, but what's your life like now? You accepted a coaching position, did you not? Where are you at, and what's life like for Jovan Johnson right now?
I'm in Defiance, Ohio. I'm coaching defensive backs at Defiance College. Things have been going well. It's been a process, but at the same time, I'm enjoying giving back the knowledge that I have to share to these young kids, teaching them what it is to get to the next level and be prominent pros, and just doing all the little things right, and the little things become big gains after you look back on your career and see all the different things that you were able to accomplish. But you have to start with the little things, the fundamentals, the different techniques that'll help you along the journey. But once you get done with your 4 years, you want to look back and see all the progress that you made over the years. And I'm starting that process right now with these young kids here at Defiance.
Well, you've always been a very outspoken guy, and you understand now, if you got quarterbacks making $700,000, there's not going to be a lot of money left for other guys. So they can either pay rookies that, or that's what teams clearly are offering you. Like, do you have a problem with the way the CFL's gone with the new CBA and the way salaries are being structured?
I think it's good for the league to be able to expand the salary cap. But at the same time, you have to be willing to pay veteran guys a fair salary. Like, it's not uncommon to see quarterbacks make more money than the rest of the team, just because that's the prominent position and they have to make all the decisions, and you win and lose off of your quarterback play. But at the end of the day, the quarterback can't go out there and do the job himself. He has to have a team around him built to win. And that includes a lot of veteran guys, veteran players who have experience, who know what to do and how to handle the things that happen in the locker room. And you can't place a value on that. You can't place value on experience. You can't place value on leadership. It's just something that comes with being experienced. And I think, guys should get paid what they deserve. And with the new CBA, yes, they helped the rookies out, and they did a great job with being able to address the situation when it comes to injury and that type of thing. But at the end of the day, with the salary cap going up and the quarterbacks getting paid more, that's all well and all. But, other players need to be able to get paid what they are worth.
Javon, we talked a few moments ago before you came on. I'm not sure if you heard us or not, but I was talking as a coach in RMF here, Regina Minor Football, and how over the last 2-3 years for young kids, there's been, it's a bit of a gray area, but there's been a lot of parents that have had a lot of concerns, and for good reason, with the movies that have been coming out about the concussions. And of course, like back when I played as a kid, like you just ran into each other like Brahma bulls. But now we have to take safe coaching clinics, and there's a huge emphasis put on safety now than there ever has been. And it starts with, you know, the professional leagues, where things that were considered to be a perfectly legal hit years ago, you now get a penalty for. You coach, right. How much emphasis, even at your level in college, you know, do you guys put on the safety element? And do you think maybe that it's just getting a little overblown in lieu of the fact that there is that emphasis nowadays for kids?
Yeah, it's important to address that and be able to teach the guys the proper techniques of tackling. It's an art to it, and you have to be skilled at doing so. You know, you will have guys who are just physical, you know, specimens who like to run and strike people, and that's just part of the game. But you have to teach them the proper ways of doing it and not putting themselves at risk when it comes to endangering others and also endangering yourself. So, you know, it's a lot of emphasis placed on that now, especially with the concussion movie, all the different lawsuits behind concussions and things like that that's going on in the NFL and everything. So you just gotta be smart about it, and you gotta address it. But, you know, ultimately, you know, it's changing the game a lot. It's really dramatically changing the game, and it's unfortunate, but you know, I don't think it impacts the game as much as it did when I was back in my younger days of going out and striking people. I don't think many people, you know, realized that concussions were such a big deal.
Hey, lastly, we've got a Twitter question has come in for you from Banny. He says, for Jovan Johnson, who did you hate, all caps, playing against in the CFL?
Oh, man. I probably hated Arlen Bruce the most. He was just one of those guys that would talk junk the whole game. And even if you were shutting him down, he still was going to talk, and he still was going to keep coming at you. You know, all the great players that I played against, you know, the Milt Steagles, the G. Roy Simons, and guys like that, Kevin Glenn and Henry Burris, and all these guys, Nick Lewis, guys who you know, had Hall of Fame careers that, you know, you knew that any given day you was going to get their best shot. And you know, that's what I enjoy most about the game is playing against people who was going to give me their best shot no matter what the circumstances were.
Jovan, the guys in the back, they're so sharp and creative when they put the little name bars up. They said, Jovan Johnson, shoe game is lit. We see all the shoes behind you. Big shoe guy. What's your, do you got one special pair back there that's worth more than the rest?
Oh, yeah. You want me to show you? Let's see.
Let's see what you got.
Oh, this is fantastic. So this,
wow,
is a pair of my, like, Michael Jackson, Mason Margiela's, and then this is my Christian Louboutin shoe.
Oh, my God.
That cost a lot of money. So I paid a lot of money, and it's like an investment. You know, you got to be willing to invest in your shoe game when you got a nice pair of collections.
Do you have your own line? Is there a Jovan Johnson shoe yet?
No, not yet. Hopefully one day I'll come up with something to be able to market myself.
And unveil them on the Rod Peterson Show. Good stuff.
Absolutely.
You always did take pride in the way that you dress, though, Jovan. You must be watching these NBA players in the finals and grading them when they come out, when they walk into the arenas or sit at news conferences.
Oh, yeah. I'm always, you know, grading guys on their fashion and how they dress. You know, we always had competitions when we would travel and see who would come out as the best dress and things like that. But I think it's fun. It's fun for the game, for guys to actually care about the way that they dress when they're going into a game and their image and things like that. I think it's big for players to understand that, you know, your image is ultimately what people judge you on, and your character as well. So you got to be able to be sharp when it's time to be sharp when you're going into a game. I think I lost you connection, the sound. I think I'm losing you guys. The volume, I can't hear you. I know I can read it. Look, so there you go.
You got us. Now, who is your best dressed teammate?
Oh, probably last year, Kevin Francis. Kevin Francis was swaggy all the time. He was one of the guys who he could put an outfit together and you'd be like, okay, I like that. That's Kevin Francis by far was probably our swaggiest player last year.
Well, not to mention he was 6 foot five and he was in those custom made suits, right? The guy does know how to. He wasn't buying that off the rack.
No, not at all. You got to be able to put some things together when you're that tall, and his build is different than the normal person. So you can't just walk in the store and find whatever it is that you're looking for. You kind of got to mix and match and find things as you go and put it together. And I think he did a great job of the way he dressed.
Hey, lastly, there are comments coming in on our Facebook feed saying, congrats, JJ, on a great career. Let's make it clear. You're not retiring here today. You're not pulling a KG. You're ready to come back for a CFL team that's ready.
If there was a team that you know, valued me as a player and what I bring to the table, you know, I would consider. You know, I had a few teams reach out to me in free agency and what they were offering me, I just wasn't willing to accept. You know, I think with my career and where I've gone and the things that I've been able to do with not only myself on the field, but also with the guys around me and the guys in the locker room that I was a part of, I think it would be safe to say that they valued having me in the locker room, and they also value having me in the meeting rooms and on the field with those guys, because I help uplift the game and I help uplift the defensive backs that I play with to become consummate professionals and guys who go out there and get it done. Guys like Abdul Kane, Jarrell Gavins, Brandon Thompson, you know, you name it. Even the guys that I played with last year, even Ed Gainey and those guys, you know, those guys were younger than me in terms of football years. But, you know, I was able to help them gel and come together and just, you know, be great teammates. And ultimately, that's what needs to happen for you to have success on the field. You got to be a great teammate and you got to be able to play well together no matter what happens in the locker room.
Joel Vaughn, well, you're a great pro, and we're following it closely. Good luck with that, and if there is a retirement announcement, we'll be watching, but I hope it's not anytime soon.
We'll see. We'll see.
All right, Joel Vaughn, have a great day.
Thanks. You too.
11-year CFL veteran Joel Vaughn Johnson joining us from Ohio this morning on the Rod Peterson Show, waiting for a call, but if it doesn't come, guys, I don't think he's got any regrets. You can take those headphones off, Kel. 11 years in the CFL, Grey Cup champion. And if there's one thing that I saw in my 20 seasons with the Saskatchewan Roughriders, it's how hard they work to last 11 years. You know what the average pro career, when I started doing Rider games in 99, the average length of a pro career was like 3.5 years.
Yeah.
Now it's 1.5 years. Average length to last 11? That guy's a pro.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, you know, and we've seen that, you know, you've seen over the years that typically, you know, I think offensive linemen tend to have a little bit of a longer shelf life, kickers maybe, but defensive backs, running backs, even receivers, like you know, those guys generally don't have the 8, 9, 10, and 11-year careers. They just don't. But, you know, he still looks like he's in pretty darn good shape, you know, like he looks like he could play. But yeah, it's, sometimes the other thing that enters into it too, and let's not kid ourselves here, right? If there's somebody that's as athletic as you, that's as good as you, that can cover about as well as you can, and they can save $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 by, you know, bringing in the young guy,
you're gonna do it.
It's gonna leave guys like Javon without a job. I mean, they've got lots of experience on defense, so it's not like, you know, like a Nettie Davis situation where he's almost like a coach, and there's other intangibles there. They probably just see Javon as somebody that, you know, hey, this guy can do the same job and we don't have to pay him as much. I mean, it's sad but true.
It's such a battle between, you know, salary cap and making sure you have a product that can win and making sure you have a product that can sell and building that loyalty. There's so much value in those veteran guys, and the 30, 40, 50 extra $1,000 is so big because it gets you the brand loyalty, it gets you jersey sales, it brings back that connection with the community. We want to feel connected to something, and one of the greatest things right now in business and marketing is nostalgia. It sells like crazy. Things from our childhood we draw to, right? Everybody's going back and pulling out the old stuff, right? And it works.
That's why Lynch is so popular.
Look at the movies right now about all the old rock stars and all the old great musicians. Like, we love those memories of the past. So the nostalgia sells, loyalty sells. There's a lot of value in the veterans.
I'm just going to, Clark, are we needing a commercial break? Yeah, one more commercial break here, and then overtime, coming back to wrap it up with plenty of time left here, an hour or two of the program, but we'll pause for now. You're watching The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listening at rodpeterson.com.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's The Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing The Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Thursday morning sports update. Big doubleheader coming up tonight. Toronto Raptors have another crack at the NBA title. Tonight, Raptors in Oakland facing the Golden State Warriors in Game 6 of the NBA Finals. The Raptors lead the series 3-2, but missed a chance to end it on Monday. And if they miss it again tonight, another air ball. Game 7 goes Sunday in Toronto. CFL fans, rejoice. The season kicks off tonight in Hamilton. Tiger Cats hosting the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Both teams feature first-time head coaches. After promoting assistants in the offseason, Craig Dickinson is the bench boss for the Riders, of course. Orlando Steinauer for the Hamilton Tiger Cats. That's a 5 p.m. kickoff, and you can watch them both down at Mosaic Stadium, Jurassic Park, if you are so inclined. Want to welcome our latest and greatest sponsor, Bronco Plumbing and Heating, Camco Plumbing and Heating, to the Rod Peterson Show. Thank you, Camco, for that. Can't wait to see you and bring you into the studio. Watch the show live if that is tickling your fancy. Also, Clark telling me our live stream is booming.
Yes.
The audio live stream is booming right now. We've got listeners in every single province right now to the program today, and it's into the thousands. And that's just on audio. And I just want to say, if I forget, good evening to our viewers in Norway, because we're very big in Norway. So thanks for tuning in today. Al Kruger, Originally from Mydale, he now lives in Vancouver, writing in on the Facebook feed.
A realtor.
And I think this is where we should go in our overtime segment, because it is Rider Game Day, week one. He says, I look at this Rider season as setting up for the Grey Cup at home in a year and 5 months. A lot of people say that. Another way of saying that is that it's a throwaway year. I hear that amongst the fan base. What I have heard internally from the Riders is that there are no throwaway years. Ever. We want to win this year, then we want to win next year, then we want to win the year after that. And what Al's referring to is hosting the 2020 Grey Cup here. But I don't think anybody will stand for this being a setup year. I mean, Al, you don't have season tickets. You don't live here. You don't need to worry about that. I'm a season ticket holder. Kelly, you got tickets. I don't want to hear that it's a throwaway year.
I'm different. I'm weird. I don't have a problem with it. I don't call
really?
It a, I don't know. I don't call it a throwaway year, though. Throwaway year doesn't even that doesn't even make sense. Rebuilding year, completely different thing. When you're throwing away a year, it means you're not even trying to win. You know, you're not there's no effort being made to win games. I think that you can take a step or two backwards to take three giant steps forward, but still go out every week and try to win the game. I mean, we saw that in 2013. I saw 2012, the year before that. They were grooming certain guys in certain roles so that the year that they held the Grey Cup, they were going to load up and they were going to try to win that year. Let's pretend the Riders did come out, and they would never do it, and they won't do it, regardless of what their mindset is in the office. But even if they did come out and say, guys or fans, I'm going to tell you, our focus is on trying to develop players to give us the best possible chance of winning next year when we host the Grey Cup again. I'd be totally fine with that. I wouldn't be offended in any way, shape, or form. In fact, in my opinion, that's what they should be doing. They're not going to win the Grey Cup this year, guys. So let's try to develop and let's give ourselves the best chance to win next year.
But then if that's the case, I will simply ask you then, is Zach Collaros the quarterback in 2020 for this team? Because if he's not,
let me see
why is he now?
Let me see how he plays this year. Let's see if he can play 10 games. Because I'm not even convinced that he's going to play 10, 11, 12 games.
So this year's an audition for Zach Collaros then in terms of next year. But you're also looking at who's available in free agency and who might come up next year and things like that and what holes you have to fill. But no, the Riders will never say it's a throwaway year because you have to sell tickets. You have to play for the now. And fans don't want to wait. We're in this mindset in this era of we need things now and we're instantaneous and everything we want on our cell phones is right there. And everything's made to order. And we don't want to go to the game unless there's a chance to win. We don't want to wait. So if we do, your fans are going to leave. And what we know is once you leave, it's hard to bring them back. And so, no, it's not a throwaway year. The talent's there for this team to compete. And as we know, we saw last night in the Stanley Cup, parity in sports is huge. The Blues, in January, were in last place, and they won the Cup. We've seen the BC Lions have that terrible start to the year, win the Grey Cup. We've seen teams that are 500 make runs.
The Blues thing is so awesome for the NHL, just a Cinderella story, right? But I've been thinking about this a lot because with this Rider season, they're in the early stages now. And people can say it doesn't matter how you start, it's how you finish. Not really. Historically, the champions are the ones that start strong, play in the middle strong, and then play strong at the end. Really,
yep.
It is. And that's what we're hoping for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. For Zach, we already know he can win. I think we're all believers that he can win. All he's got to prove is that he can stay on the field. Mm-hmm. That's all he's got to do, and the Riders will win and be fine. I was really interested yesterday, and this is where we'll wrap it up, that Craig Smith, that longtime player personnel guy who's watching right now from the Calgary airport, he's written in and told us that. Kelly, you really enjoyed his visit with us yesterday, as did I, and everybody did. He's a believer in Chris Streveler over there, so all in Winnipeg. So all Smitty's comments did, I think, is rev everybody up. Because why wouldn't Streveler want to come here? He's a South Dakota guy, about the same distance here as Winnipeg from South Dakota. He could make the big money. He would be the number one guy. Mm-hmm. Is it too early to talk about? If Smitty believes in him, then I believe in him a lot more than I did before asking him that question.
Well, I think, okay, so from my perspective, the one thing that was disappointing for me in the Rider offseason was that it's not so much that they decided that they're going to go with Zach. It's just that I think that the amount of inexperience behind him, and I know we got a guy here, Andrew, can we stop with the talk if he stays healthy?
No, we can't.
But how can you not? Andrew.
It's the story.
Come on.
It's like, the story.
This guy was hurt constantly last year. And every time he got hit hard, he was out. He was done. So you have to talk about it. And the one thing that I came away with that conversation, which I thought was an amazing interview, I thought that segment with Craig was just phenomenal. But I started thinking about quarterbacks and reflecting. Since Ron Lancaster, we've really developed two quarterbacks, Kent Austin and Darian Durant. We're going back to the 70s. Now, Henry Burris, you could throw him in there, but he wasn't here long enough.
Nor did he start here.
Yeah. So I just think that the one thing that fans around here, and I do think they go way too hard on quarterbacks sometimes, but you can't deny that over the years, this organization, no matter who seems to be in charge, it is frustrating as a fan when it seems like decade after decade, there's always that. We don't have a succession plan for quarterback. I mean, the Calgary Stampeders, how many years with Doug Flutie, then it was Jeff Garcia, then it was Dave Dickens. Like, it just, you go from one to the next, to the next, to the next. We've never enjoyed that. Ken Austin leaves, and it's 10 years before we have another good quarterback.
The last time
Darian Durant leaves, 10 more years before we have Yeah.
The last time I think we had a succession plan or thought we had a succession plan was when Drew Willey was the backup, and then we lost him, right?
Because he didn't want to stay. And that's a topic that maybe we'll get into tomorrow on the Kevin Glenn vein. When he came in here, we had Henry Burris, we had Nealon Green, we had Kevin Glenn, and we can't keep them all happy. Roy tried, but they ended up going other places because they can't all play at once.
Or you keep Nealon Green over Henry Burris, which was brilliant.
Don't get me started on those discussions. Just one last thing, and Andrew's a good guy, but he says, everyone gets hurt, man. We're not piling on Zach Caleros, but no, not everyone gets hurt. Mike Riley didn't miss a snap last year. Didn't miss one. And Bo Levi Mitchell was there winning the Grey Cup with the Calgary Stampeders. That's all. What Zach has to prove is that he can finish a season, because last year he didn't. That's all. That's what it is. Nobody's doubting his ability. But if this season hinges on the health of Zach Caleros, and it starts tonight. Guys, thank you. It's been fun.
Always fun.
Thank you to Benny Hebert, Curtis Hunt, Jovan Johnson, an all-star cast today. Tomorrow on the Rod Peterson Show, Ottawa Red Blacks general manager Marcel Desjardins, from Global Regina Taylor Shire, and football maven John Frenzy. That's all tomorrow, guys.
Wow.
Thank you, world. And Norway. We'll see you tomorrow on Facebook Live and rodpeterson.com.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com. Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms.